Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio is 1 minute ahead of me. It's Jane Hoffman. I'm calling in on a Sunday night. I had a couple Twitter wars this week. Not really. I've only had one Twitter war. And somebody called me a blood-sucking American just because I stated a fact that Palestinians' birth rate is too high. I stated the fact that the Palestinian birth rate is 4 per every 1,000, which is the highest in the world. And a lot of the Muslim women start having kids at 15 and probably don't stop till they're 40. And one incentive is to outpopulate the Israelis. There was also some other interesting tweets for Mia Farrow tweeted, "Can't Israel just destroy the tunnels without killing people?" Well, what if they send men in there and they crawl down in there and the Palestinians have weapons? I certainly understand her point, you know, to reduce deaths, but the precision targets of Israel are the best in the world. In 1982, when they invaded southern Lebanon, there was two groups there, the Hezbollah and somebody else, and the Israelis shot down 85 Soviet fighter jets. They were 100% effective. They wiped out the whole fleet, and not one Israeli air jet went down in that first battle. Okay, I'm going to pull John into the show. He's not late. He's right on time. Good evening, John.
Well, good day. How is it going for you, Jane the Hammer?
The hammer slammer is slammed. I don't know. I took my client to Pike Lake today, and I went jogging on the beach. And then I also walked maybe like 1 mile of the golf course, and I'm just totally slain. I feel like a dying elephant.
Well, I'm sure, was it hot today?
No, it wasn't a miserable hot. It was 75 was the high, and it was about 73 when we got to the beach. And it was a beautiful day with no humidity, so I don't really know what really nailed me into the wall.
Wow. Yeah, it's been a little bit kind of muggy out here in L.A. It was very warm this week, and then on the weekend, or actually yesterday, it started to rain a little bit. It had a little, not heavy, but it made it kind of muggy today, kind of overcast, and kind of, I had some friends visit from Australia, or as they would say, Australia, and...
Are you kidding?
It's like a different language. It's kind of funny, because I have a mother-in-law that's British, but when people go full-on Aussie, it's like a different language. You know, they're using terms that you kind of know, but no one knows what they really mean. It's like a whole...
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, they could talk for 5 minutes, and you sit there and go, what are they trying to say? It's kind of funny.
How do you know those folks?
They were dedicated Slick and Slim fans back in the day. We're talking circa 2000, like 2001, 1999, right up around that area. And the mum, is Leah Rose. She's a singer. She's actually a Tattoo Rose is her kind of her stage performance name.
And how did
name.
They find you on the internet?
Yeah, somehow when Slick back in the day was kind of networking and meeting people and sending off CDs and things like that, he connected with her, and she was actually trying to get us to go out and play in Australia to open for AC/DC when the millennium was coming up in 2000. They were trying to hook something up, but she just didn't have quite the connection to do it. It really takes a lot of money and a lot of connection.
She would have had to pay your plane ticket and what else?
Well, you know, if we could have opened for something that big, I'm sure we would have scratched up the money, because generally it's really not who you are. It's what you're associated with as far as connection. And
well,
it
that's
really,
totally true.
Yeah. So it would have been like, it would have been worth even $100,000 to open for a major name, whether it's Van Halen or, you know, Michael Jackson or whoever. You pretty much would want to pay just to get the exposure, because that opens up all the doors.
I kind of vaguely remember you mentioning this now when I worked at SOS.
Yes, and she was a big fan of Slick and Slim. She actually took our pictures that we had online and made a Slick and Slim calendar. And then after that, we couldn't hook up a show.
That would be interesting trivia.
Well, it was around 2001 when I shattered my leg, so I was out about a year or so. And then Slick, a year later, had a motorcycle accident. So he was out for a year or so with a broken collarbone and all kinds of stuff. So we lost 2 or 3 years there of momentum. And then she started singing and performing. And first she went to karaoke, and then she went to singing and performing. So she came over about 5 years ago just to visit. And this year her brother was getting married, so she brought her whole family. And kids are growing up now. They're like 14 to like 22, kind of that range. And we had a really good time with them.
That's pretty cool.
What's interesting in relation to what you have, you know, Australia is kind of, in a way, European in the way they think, although they're kind of rebellious. They still are rebels. It is a country where they send all the convicts, so there's always been that rebel mentality, kind of like the way Texas is kind of like a state unto itself, you know, where you can run around with a gun in your pants. But over there, they kind of have this feel, just I'm speaking collectively, that religion is the cause of all wars. It was an interesting discussion that, you know, we had, and that is, like, to me, religion isn't the cause of all wars. Actually, governments are. And, you know, like, case in point, Russia or China or North Korea, they don't promote religion in any way. They kill millions of people. And so the point I was making was governments actually cause war. Do you want a godless, immoral, you know, leadership, or do you want a leadership that has a respect or fear for God? And so it's kind of interesting.
It depends, because look what's happened to Iran in the last several years.
Right.
It's a theocratic empire, and if you don't obey, you're put to death. So, you know, I don't want to be biased, but if it was a Christian, people in government who respected Christians, I'd accept it, but...
Well, that's
overall,
what I was going to say, is that you want leaders that have a certain kind of spiritual morality, but
well,
something
yeah,
either Christian...
Well, yeah, I do want that.
Or, yeah, something
but
either...
But the sage of South... You know who Larry Elder is? I'm sure you do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, the sage of South Central posted some pictures today on his website, and then they filtered into Facebook because he has a link. It was a bunch of young adults in Afghanistan and Iran hanging out, you know, like on the beach, like in bathing suits.
Uh-huh.
And then underneath it said 1970s Afghanistan, 1970s Iran, and then underneath it showed like 200 women with those coverings.
Right, the burqas.
All together in a group, and then it said the same names of the countries, 2014.
Yes.
But before we get into serious politics, I want to play one of your songs tonight. So we're cutting to Praise right
wow.
Now.
Yay!
I want to thank you, Lord. Yes, you I do. I feel you inside my soul. I want you to know that I need you to be close to me. I'm talking about eternity. Oh, I want.
Wow.
John? I stopped because I thought did I upload the wrong song?
No, that's Praise You.
Okay,
it was a little hot on my end. You know, you might have it played just a tad lower, just a bit, not a lot, just a tad.
Okay, well, I'm sorry I cut it off, but I had more than one song in my downloads, and one was called I Want to Thank You, so let's go.
I wanna thank you, Lord. Yes, you I do.
That was a nice ending.
Yes, it was. I had a lot of fun doing it.
I want to give you a shout out to Bradley Marsh in North Hollywood. Happy birthday, Bradley. He turned 16 today.
Woohoo!
I was just noticing something. Well, I got into a late night argument with somebody on Twitter, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it was a rather strange, and I'll get into that. But also, I've been reading. I kind of like Mia Farrow's posts, but some of them were a little pretentious in the last couple of days. She dissed Obama. She said something like she's really disappointed into him. And then, let's see. Well, I was trying to find the significant one. She mentioned that 1,800 people died in Syria in the last 2 weeks, but that hasn't really been covered on the news lately because because of all the problems in Israel. Anyways, she made some crack about the tunnels, like can Israel destroy the tunnels without killing Palestinians. She also, this is something legitimate, she wrote 6 hours ago. Israel was notified 33 times that the school, Shelter Day, was a UN-designated safe area, shelter to thousands. So I thought that's happened over and over and over again.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. However, we do need to keep in mind, like even when our country's at war or in combat, we shoot our own by mistake. It's called friendly fire. There's so many things that happen in battle situation, and this truly is. And I mean, example, Hamas has fired more than 3,000 rockets into Israel during this time period. And we're not talking like a 10 or 50 or 100, 3,000. That's a lot of firing. So unfortunately, and it's really sad because we don't want innocent people hurt. We don't want schools and things like that, assaulted or innocent people. But when you get into war situation, you're entering the land of crazy and unfair. And unfortunately, innocent people are going to suffer. You hope that it's avoided, but I don't know if you can have a clean war and kill people on both sides. People, unfortunately, leaders do put weapons in strategic places where you're not supposed to shoot, and they're not dumb, both sides. It's like they're going to use it. It's like in the late 80s and 90s with the drug war in Miami, where we had the Colombians and Cubans. They would ice cream trucks, and they would have other other instruments that you would never suspect that drugs are being dealt in. And it's just to fool people. So I'd have to see the whole picture of what they're dealing with strategically when they fire into
right,
these areas.
Here's two more that I found by her.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, Israel's Bedouin caught between the Iron Dome and Hamas. The Bedouin are those, like, sheep herder people out in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And then, that's okay to report things like that, but then she wrote, all these gopher holes on my lawn, looks like they're tunneling in from my neighbors. Should I blow up their house? And then she wrote, people who earn a living in showbiz dare not speak. Most of the Jewish community, heads of studios and TV networks, support Israel no more. That's a crock of shit.
Right, especially when she's in an environment or an industry that is the prime movers in that industry are Jewish, and she's reaped the benefits of the money of that industry to give her the power to have this platform. And it's just very easy to say they should do this or should do that. Well, let's throw it this way. Why don't we, Mia, why don't you take a sign and go down there at the border there and just make your stand and tell them, how to run things and watch what happens. It's like they're going to blow you right off the face of the earth. And your first response is going to be like, if you're her family, they're going to go, blow them up. It's not going to be like, well, they should all just get along.
This Jewish lady wrote back named Jane Moore. She wrote, this is actually on Facebook. Mia has her Twitter link to Facebook. Don't you think it's very odd that during this conflict there has not been one picture of a dead Hamas fighter or one picture of the thousands of rockets being launched on the Gaza side? We know they had been launched, as there are plenty of pictures and videos of them in Israel's sky or where they land when they haven't been shot down. The UN admits to finding blah, 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 blah. This guy right below her writes back, showing your intolerance and hatred. Thus you are unfriended from me, just an American citizen sad for all those in war. All those, not one side, but those who have to live with the horror of war. Peace, Mia, and hope you have a wonderful life. Well, actually, I thought he was unfriending Jane Moore, the lady above him, but he's unfriending Mia.
Yeah, I could see, you have to have the perspective of balance and look at both sides. And they do have their their angles, but it's real easy to say this is what they should do. But when you get in an angry situation like that, and I've tried to deal with angry people, and you can't stop them. Sometimes force is just the only thing. And it's sad because I don't like force or violence, or I like to be a cool guy. But cool people, unfortunately, are the first people shot and killed in an exchange. It's the mean, aggressive person usually survives. It's really sad.
I know. This guy is so off base on here, and we'll get into a thicker topic in a minute. You know, this is what I don't like about social network. Okay, someone named Silver Hurricane Bullion wrote, Jews, Muslim, Christians, Gentiles, turn your attention and focus to the activities of Rothschild, Rockefeller, and the banking families of old, and you will begin to find answers. Who finances all this? The public is finding out what these people are up to now for the first time in 1,000 years. They're not Jewish, although they masquerade under the title to be able to deflect and, you know, get, okay, I'm not even going to read anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This is, the Jews are defending a chunk of land that they've been there since, it'll be 60 or 70 years in 1918.
Mm-hmm.
70 years. It's not a conspiracy of a bunch of old-time rich Jewish Americans. Rockefeller wasn't a Jew, but Rothschild probably was. So,
yes, I have
I
a friend
know.
At church who thinks that everything is a Jewish conspiracy or a government conspiracy, and that you know that we financed Hitler, and he kind of goes on and on. And some of his points have validity. I mean, you'll find in any situation where it's like in Europe, where or even America, where major defense things are funded by like record label people. You know, people who have money in many different areas. There's a lot of fingers in the pie, and because it's about business, and with business, people just do whatever makes money. And war is a very lucrative situation for some people, especially if you know, what are you going to do with all these bombs and missiles and guns and things if these munitions, if they're not used? I mean, how are you going to make money? So they definitely have to sell and move this stuff. So it's very easy to say it's there's easy solutions. It's not easy solutions, unfortunately. And that's why I favor that we do need a method of forgiveness, a way to interact with each other. And I that's why I hold on to Christianity. I don't see other solutions for these situations.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to talk about the Middle East tonight. I know you're not on the Twitter universe a lot. I was going to try to find this quote. I just remember this guy. I'm not going to try to find it, actually, but the guy called me a blood-sucking American just because I stated a fact about how many Palestinian, the birth rate of women in the Gaza Strip. This is someone I don't know. He saw my hashtag Israel, and he just decided to attack me, and I reported him on Twitter because I don't want to be called a blood-sucking American.
No, I don't think you are.
Just because I'm making a benign fact. Maybe I was associating overpopulation with stress that's caused in the Gaza Strip, because there is stress when there's overpopulation. I don't know.
Well, at least you haven't overpopulated the world. You know, you only did your contribution, and you know, some people they've done beyond their work. It's funny because in most situations, the most educated people, unfortunately, either aren't having kids or they're just having, you know, one, not even two. And the lower education, lower income folks are having the most kids. So we're not really replenishing the
Well, why would people even want to have kids in that type of environment where there's no future security? I could, you know, if they're stuck on the in a fenced-in Gaza Strip and they're married and they want to have one child, fine, but there's no future for those children. I wrote hashtag CNN. Israel is defending itself, not trying to target innocent lives. Palestine has a birth rate of 40 per thousand, pop density too high. Because in Twitter you can only write 140 characters, so you have to abbreviate a lot. Jay Thomas wrote back, quit opening and shutting the door. Jay Thomas wrote back, why the high population density? Maybe so many refugees, you ignorant American death sucker. And I wrote back, you are a hostile person. Palestinians have the highest birth population in the world. No urban planning. Women uneducated. Facts are facts. And then I wrote back, there are no refugees in Gaza because they're all trapped behind a fence. They might be able to, like, go across town 2 miles and hide in a school, but there's no refugees. That's the other problem. They're stuck there because there's gates and walls.
Wow, that's... Now, I'm wondering, is it any religious factors involved in that? Just as in South America, like, the Catholic Church is very, you know, strong, so they don't believe in birth control.
I think there are some Christians in Palestine, but it is predominantly Muslim.
Yeah, because 98%, I think, is like they're basically Sunni Muslims.
Yeah, I read an article that just said it was part of a strategy to overpopulate so they can overtake Israel. I know, I'm sure that's not everybody's goal, but
right.
This guy who wrote me back is also a teacher. But earlier on Friday night, he was swearing left and right about other things.
Mm-hmm.
Here, this is what he wrote. Fuck fascists with a long, rough pole, and fuck racist bullshit. The future has no place for you. Workers of the world fucking united. Then he wrote something very strange. It's Israel's turn to go on a diet. He was talking about the arms race. And then somebody accused him, are you any different than anybody else? How could this show be over already? I feel like we just got started.
We're just warming up. It's a hotbed of controversy. Well, what's interesting, too, I guess behind Christianity, Sunni Muslims are the second largest religious body, and the largest religious denomination for any religion in the world. So it's kind of the Orthodox version of their religion, and it's definitely they're very conservative in their views, and I mean they want to use the customs and traditions of the faith. I just don't see a peaceful situation coming out of that faith. You know, Christians in general, we may manipulate countries, but basically after we blow them up, we spend all our money rebuilding them and trying to get them to just run their own kind of democratic representative government. But they want to come in and basically change the whole culture to be Muslim and Islamic. And if you don't, there's a sword for you. So that's where I kind of have an issue with it. That's why I lean towards Israel. You know, no matter the facts on some of this stuff, it just I don't see Israel as a threat to the world, to take over the world.
Yeah, I want to know what you feel about this tweet by Jason Thomas. Mm-hmm. And his Twitter name is @JasonThomas. The right to clean water, medicine, shelter, life. Not if you're Palestinian. American munitions will see to that. Actually, it's the Soviets are the ones who supplied all the tanks and guns for the Syrian war. So are the Soviets responsible for the displacement of 10 million people in Syria and the death of hundreds of thousands.
You know, what I'm surprised is that the Muslim brothers in the area don't pass the hat around and help them out, you know, because usually they're so socially aware of community. But you think, you know, in other words, why is it the Christian brothers' responsibility to take care of the Muslim who wants to kill the Christian or the Jew? I just don't get that thinking.
Yeah, have you ever gotten into an awkward situation on Facebook or another social network where you might have said something off color, and then somebody takes it the wrong way?
Yes, you know, it's kind of this Facebook mud wrestling. One time I had a friend who posts a lot of facts about everything, you know, the price of coffee. Then one moment he'll talk about Israel, then he'll talk about Van Halen, just different things. And so he mentioned something about Putin and Obama. And I just made some kind of comment about Reagan, just on dealing with communists. But I said it kind of tongue-in-cheek, and this guy ran with it, like, you know, you bourgeois, capitalist, you know, head in the ground, don't you know communism is dead?
John, we have a caller.
Oh, cool.
1 second.
Is it Big Bob?
Welcome to the show, Yale.
Hello, I love you. I'm sorry, John.
We miss you too. And
we love you.
Hi, John.
I hate interrupting John, but I had to. John is Yale
Butler.
No, go
for it for Yale. Yes, always.
Well, what about? I caught the very end. I wish I could have heard everything, but I was traveling, and I. What about the leader of Turkey? Am I getting everything confused? The remarks that were made recently.
I'll read what Yale just texted me. Abdullah Gül, leader of Turkey, said women shouldn't laugh in public. Is that what you were referring to?
Yes.
Well, we're just, you know what, the topic of the show tonight is actually outlandish things people write on Twitter and Facebook. And I noticed there's a trend that people who are for Palestine pretty much stick to one side, and people who are for Israel pretty much stick to one side.
But,
they're
but
just
you know,
defending
an interesting,
their belief system.
An interesting
but,
point that, that
oh,
Yale
ahead,
brings up. I was going to say, an interesting point that Yale brings up, which coincides with what Mia Farrow was talking about. Okay, let's favor Palestine. In fact, you know what? Let's let them run the whole show over there. And why don't you go over there and live your life as a Palestinian woman and see exactly what, you know, all the things you're spouting. Guess what? They're going to shut down your Facebook or your Twitter account or whatever, and you're going to put on your little burqa and shut your mouth. And then that's the come you're not going to, you won't be having any laughter in public about that.
No,
actually, somebody got killed in a country. It was actually in Pakistan. They posted the younger daughter posted something on Facebook, and her mother were killed because they thought they were a divergent sect of Muslims that didn't believe what they believe, and they killed them. And a mob ran to their house and killed them in cold blood.
It's tricky, but the social networks, social media being used for, you know, for like John was saying, but example. So women from this country, I believe several, you know, their faith, they're Muslim, they actually posted on Instagram, or maybe not Instagram, but one of the websites, because I have been traveling, I haven't been on my phone, and they were actually, you know, laughing, so they, you know, they could, I guess they were in a safe hold, you know, not near the leader.
They were just laughing about any old thing?
No, they were posting, even Muslim women were posting, you know, with their full headdress and everything, they were posting pictures laughing, so, you know.
And is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, hopefully they won't be punished for it, but it's a good thing that they have the freedom to do that. I mean, people die for worse things. Soccer players that have lost games have died.
I was trying to find this post that I posted a link the other day to that Pakistani situation where it kind of would be like if the whole town was filled with Lutherans, kind of like Minnesota, and a couple of Baptists moved to town. And, actually I'm reading a book about snake handlers. So let's just say this one group of Christians decided to do snake handling, which actually part of the book takes place near your state, Yale, and they were mobbed to death. So let me just read this. It happened in Islamabad, Pakistan. A Pakistani mob killed a woman member of a religious sect, S-E-C-T, and two of her granddaughters after a sect member was accused of posting blasphemous material on Facebook, the latest instance of growing violence against minorities. The dead included a 7-year-old girl and her babysitter, and a 1984 Pakistani law declared them non-Muslims, and many Pakistanis consider them heretics. Later, a crowd of 150 people came to the police station. They got impatient. They wouldn't let the cops handle it. And while the cops were negotiating with the crowd, another mob attacked and started burning the houses of the Ahmadis, which is the name of the sect. Under Pakistani law, Ahmadis are banned from using Muslim greetings, saying Muslim prayers, or referring to his place of worship as a mosque. It sounds like they're kind of like outcasts, like lepers.
Sounds like it.
I don't know. I mean, I'm glad I don't get killed for posting something on Twitter, but Yale, you missed the earlier discussion. Someone called me an American death sucker just because I posted a fact about Palestinian birth rates.
Well, what's interesting, people like in good and bad ways, they hide behind the social media too, but I don't think we would ever, as much as we study or read, I spent almost 14 years of my life with someone from Israel who happens to be the Jewish faith, and unless we grew up there and if we were either Palestinian or if we were, you know, Jewish, it's a little difficult to, we can grasp it, we can talk about it, but like John said, there's nothing like being there.
Right. And you see a lot of, it's a very popular thing for, you know, like Selena Gomez, or you'll get Rihanna or Madonna, and it's very popular to go, hey, you know, free Palestine and let's stop. But it's like, you know what, go with your little skimpy outfits and go into one of the mosques, you know, in there and speak your mind and watch what happens to you. Watch what you're really defending. And all I can say, I've never worried about Israel launching rockets into America, and I haven't seen them attack, just go out and straight attack countries. They usually do it in defense, to defend their area that's threatened. So I don't know. I'm not saying they're totally innocent. I'm just saying I spot them some sympathy points. I'll put it that way.
Right.
Yale, didn't your husband's from Israel? Didn't you go to Israel once?
I actually didn't because there was a war going on.
How coincidental.
Can you imagine
that? Was
that
in 1982 when they were in
Lebanon? There were things going on in the Gulf, so I didn't know him then, but it was later. It was later on. But
okay,
so
did your husband serve in the Israeli army? Because it's a requirement.
Interestingly enough, maybe I should have to use the Fifth Amendment on this one. He did not.
We don't know his name. Only you know his name.
No, he did not. The rest of his family, they all did. His father served in three wars.
I think anyone growing up in that culture is, if they didn't serve, they've been under the threat. You know, I mean, I'm sure grandmother's packing. You know, the women are packing. Everyone is ready to go all out. So you know, you almost look at it like a mini blessing if you don't have to go out and you know, take up arms in a situation. I don't think it's a bad thing at all.
His parents came from Iraq, actually, And that was something that even the sovereigns, the Israelis, weren't proud of that. They, you know, because possibly his father spoke, you know, fluent Arabic, and the grandfather Arabic and French and Hebrew and, you know, et cetera. But they weren't even proud of that. They just wanted their
right.
beginning just to start in Israel. But his father did live, they lived in the, I guess, in the tents and the camps.
So he gets
Iraq does have like a 2% minority population of Jews. They've recently been attacked in Mosul. Iraq
so they from both sides, really.
They ran for their lives, and his aunt had the that I think it's 21 karat gold. I mean, that's what they had then, right? I mean, they either had some money or gold, maybe property. You can't run with that, but she risked her life, and they had like yards and yards of gold, and she wrapped it in her body. Actually, have a piece of it from Iraq.
So
what do you mean by yards and yards of gold? Like they had blocks of gold?
Yards, like just, you know, like you would make a necklace. They would have yards of gold, and then you could make a necklace, or, you know, I'm sure
like
it was
chains.
It was like long. And then they would cut them later and use it. I'm sure it was like, you know, it was an investment. I mean, that's what they had.
Did they have to hide?
They had to run. They had to leave Iraq, and they ran for their lives because they were Jewish during that time. So they left and then came to Israel before actually it was formed as a state.
So, John, what do you think about this story? It's rather interesting, isn't it?
It sounds like he suffered double persecution, because I know I worked for a company with the owner came from Iran during the time of the Shah and the Ayatollah. And when he came to this country, I mean, they had to get out. He was Jewish, so they had to escape to live. And then they come to this country, and then we were hating on everyone because of the Ayatollah and the American hostages with Jimmy Carter.
That
so,
was in 1979 when the Shah of Iran took over. I mean, the Shah of Iran was ousted and Khomeini took over.
So you can imagine, I know that the scarring that goes on with that, it affects you deeply, you know. So I'm sure
his
he
name
had to,
wasn't Marvin Rosenblum, was it?
No, it was Farmaz Sadeghi at Bluebird Office Supplies. Just an incredible story how he came over there and with his family and didn't know the language and went to high school and went on to college and started his own business and very successful. And I mean, now that's the American spirit, you know. It's just
that's
amazing.
That's very impressive.
Quite. I mean, I've been here all my life, and what did I do with it, right?
You're talking on live radio blog right now, so hey.
Yay.
Well, when I read a story, I've been reading a lot of stories lately about self-starters. Like there was a 15-year-old who put together care packages for American war veterans. And he did it all on his own, and he got free supplies from different stores. And another kid during the World Cup, he wanted to buy soccer balls for kids in poor countries, and he started a self-starting charity, and now it's known throughout the world. And he was only like, I think he was like 14 or 16, I don't remember.
Oh, by the way, I want to say thank you for calling in, Yale, and we really would need to talk to you more. I have a feeling sooner or later the radio may just cut us off. I may be wrong, but I just wanted to get that in.
In 2 minutes.
Oh, good.
Thank
so
you
I did
so
want
much.
To say thank you.
Thank you so
follow
much.
The truth wherever it leads you, and Yale, why don't you give us your words of wisdom, and maybe John and I won't have time.
Think carefully. You don't always plan your life. I guess I'm going through that right now. Just think carefully. Love others. Be the best you can be and give. I'm more of a giver than a taker. But take care of yourself along the way, too.
That's good because I just wrote an article for the Reader about being a vagabond my whole life and a gypsy. And